Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Third Coast Podcast. I'm Katie Mingle. You'll hear our weekly radio show, ReSound, here, as well as the occasional story curated recently from our audio library at thirdcoastfestival.org. The Third Coast Festival is a nonprofit organization whose livelihood depends in part on support from listeners like you. To find out how you can help or to check out all of the cool stuff we do apart from our radio show, visit our website, thirdcoastfestival.org. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast.
Wieder auf einen Weltstar, meine Damen und Herren. Diesmal auf den König der Country Music aus den USA. Aber ich glaube, diese Ansage sollte man Englisch machen, ja? Ladies and gentlemen, a name like a flash, Johnny Cash.
From the Third Coast International Audio Festival in Chicago, I'm Gwen Maxey, and this is ReSound.
We're awful glad to be with you this week. A great show lined up for you. One of the prettiest, singingest, songwritingest little blondes in country music coming up right now.
ReSound is a remix of music, documentaries, found sound, sound bites, and assorted audio ditties we lasso from all over the world. Sound mechanics and audio producers are forging beautiful work everywhere, for the airwaves, the internet, or just for fun. We listen to it, feast on it, and then wrangle in the best of what we hear each week for you on ReSound.
There are a lot of ways to define country music, but I can do it in just two words. Ladies and gentlemen, George Jones!
People who love country music really love it, and the people who don't, don't. But even if the Texas two-step isn't your thing and shirts with fringe make you cringe, you got to love the song titles. I gave her the ring, and she gave me the finger. I liked you better before I knew you so well. I'm so miserable without you, it's like having you here. And my personal favorite, did I shave my legs for this?
As I head for the door, I turn around to be sure. Did I shave my legs?
Every country song tells a story and has a story behind it. Today on ReSound, country western. From Woody Guthrie to George Jones, from Abilene, Texas to Abilene, Kansas, to, literally, Outer Mongolia. Stay tuned. He Stopped Loving Her Today by George Jones is one of country music's most famous tunes. It was chosen as the Country Music Association's Song of the Year 2 years in a row. Now it's been included in the National Recording Registry, which is the Library of Congress's program to preserve key moments in recording history for all time. But this iconic tune barely made it to the recording studio. Here's the story of the song that almost wasn't.
My name is Hazel Smith. Country music has been my life all my life. I do a column called Hot Dish for CMT.com, and this is my 15th year of recording country music news to WFMS in Indianapolis.
Well, my name is George Jones, and I've been in country music now for many years, ever since about 1956.
My name is Bobby Braddock, and I write songs. I guess some of the songs I've written that country music fans would be familiar with would be Time Marches On, Tracy Lawrence, and then Tammy Wynette's D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
Our D-I-V-O-R-C-E becomes final today.
You know, you got a man like Bobby Braddock who wrote, I don't know how many hits for George Jones, Golden Rings and a lot of songs. Now, those were duets with George and Tammy. You know that, don't you?
In a pawn shop in Chicago on a sunny summer day.
Bobby wrote songs that suited George. The Possum Can Sing.
She smiles and nods her head as he says, honey, that's for you. It's not much, but it's the best that I can do.
When I start singing, I try to live that story and put every bit of heart and soul that I had to offer in the songs. And that's the way I've always felt about recording. You know when a song is pretty good, because if it hits you and just blows smoke everywhere, you know it's got something pretty powerful there.
He said, I'll love you till I die. She told him, you'll forget in time. As the years went slowly by, she still preyed upon his mind.
The plot line of He Stopped Loving Her Today, which I wrote with Curly Putman, is this guy split up with the love of his life, and he just never moved on, and he stopped loving her today because he died today, simply put.
But he still loved her through it all.
He never found out anything about the art of letting go.
Hoping she'd come back again.
The guy was a bad role model.
George thought it was the saddest song he ever heard, and wouldn't nobody listen to it.
I kept arguing with my producer. I said, Billy Sherrill was my producer at that time. And I said, Billy, it's a beautiful song. It's just too sad.
Billy Sherrill got a lot of criticism in those days for his production being too slick.
He knew I wasn't much of horns and strings and things like that, but strings are beautiful. I found out.
I can tell you right now, the production of He Stopped Loving Her Today did not hurt that song at all. As a matter of fact, if you listen at it, you start to cry.
My favorite part of the record is the ascending string section. Sounds like the guy has died and is on his way to heaven.
He stopped loving her today. It placed a wreath upon his door. And soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her today.
Instead of singing it, Billy Sherrill thought it would be good just to do the recitation.
You know, she came to see him one last time.
You know, it's still is the ultimate I love you song, you know.
When George sings the song, the entire audience stands to their feet. They feel like they're in church, do you understand?
This time, he's over her for good. He stopped loving her today.
Country music is the one thing on this planet that is truth. And this song, He Stopped Loving Her Today, every word is truth. There's no make-believe in it. It's something that, surely to God, it happens sometime.
He stopped loving her today.
He Stopped Loving Her Today was produced by Ben Manila and Devin Strolovich for Studio 360 from WNYC in New York. To find a link to more stories from Studio 360 about the National Recording Registry entrance, visit thirdcoastfestival.org. Country Western music is essentially a mishmash. It grew out of a confluence of immigrants, instruments, and musical traditions that all came together in the South. In the 1920s, the Irish fiddle, the German dulcimer, the Italian mandolin, the Spanish guitar, and the West African banjo all contributed their voices to what we now call country. Around the same time, Woody Guthrie was growing up in Okemah, Oklahoma. He was born into a musical family that suffered a series of tragedies that sent Guthrie on the road. The rest, as they say, is history. In March of 1940, a young Woody Guthrie sat with folklorist Alan Lomax at the U.S. Department of the Interior Studios for a series of interviews for the Library of Congress archives. They offer a rare glimpse of Guthrie's early musical style and a frank account of his harrowing past.
Woody, how long was it ago that you were born in Okemah?
28 years, you pretty near guessed it. I was born there on July the 14th, 1912.
How did you people live out there in Oklahoma? Did you live pretty well?
I don't know, Alan. To start with, I wasn't in the class that John Steinbeck called the Okies because my dad, to start with, was worth about $35,000 or $40,000, and he had everything hunky-dory. Then he started having a little bad luck. In fact, our whole family had a little bit of it. I don't know whether it's worth talking about or not. I never do talk it much. My 14-year-old sister either set herself afire or caught a fire accidentally. There's two different stories got out about it. Anyway, she was having a little difficulty with her school work, and she had to stay home and do some work, and she caught a fire while she was doing some ironing that afternoon on the old kerosene stove. It was highly unsafe and highly uncertain in them days, and this one blowed up, caught her afire, and she run around the house about twice before anybody could catch her. Next day, she died. And my mother, Adam, was a little bit too much for her nerves or something. I don't know exactly how it was, but anyway, my mother died in the insane asylum at Norman, Oklahoma. Then about that same time, my father mysteriously, for some reason or other, caught a fire. There's a lot of people say that he set himself afire. Others say that he caught a fire accidentally. I always will think that he'd done it on purpose because he'd lost all his money. All my brothers and sisters, all these things happened, and they found themselves scattered. All us kids had to scatter out and be adopted by different families. I lived with a family of people. There was 11 of us. Lived in a little two-room shack. We had two or three beds, you know, and so we'd sleep, some of us at the head and some of us at the foot, and had everybody's feet and everybody's faces, you know how that is. And then after that, I don't know, I kind of took to the road. I hit the road one day, the first day that I ever hit the highway, to be what's called a rambling man or a hobo or a tramp was in 1927.
How old were you then?
At that time, I was about 17 years old. I went to Galveston, Texas, hoed figs and all them orchards down in that country, and helped drill water wells and irrigated strawberries, and helped a carpenter down there to tear down a whole bunch of houses, and that time I was about 18.
Well, Woody, did you begin to sing about this time, or how did that happen?
Well, then I went back up into the panhandle of Texas, the big wheat belt, up around Amarillo, Texas, north of Amarillo, Texas, and when I got out into that country, I got a job about the third day I was there. I got a job with a feller that was, he owned a root beer stand, supposedly. And he said he'd give me $3 a day to stand behind the counter and sell people root beer. So I told him I had intelligence enough to do that. So I got around behind the counter, he told me, he said, now in addition to this root beer, he said, here's some bottles here of another description. He says, if anybody comes up and lays a dollar and a half on the counter here, why, you reach down and gently and firmly let them have one of these here bottles. One day, my curiosity got the best of me, and I just got to wondering what in the devil is in them bottles. So I opened up one and tasted of it, and it was nothing in the world but just unadulterated corn whiskey. So we was a wheeling and a dealing there in the whiskey business for long time. This guy had a guitar. I'd laid around there, and a lot of times there wouldn't be any customers in the place. I'd grab up this guitar and got to pecking around on it. I thought it sounded awful pretty. And learned a little old chord, just how to barely chord long, and finally learned a few little old songs, and then I just kind of drifted into it. I never did own a guitar, though.
What were some of the first songs you began to sing out there in the Panhandle, Willie?
Here's an old song here that they sang back down in that country. Almost everybody knows it. The name of this one here is Greenback Dollar. I don't want your greenback dollar. I don't want your silver change. All I want is your love, darling. Won't you take me back again? In this part of Texas where I was working in this whiskey store, some of the worst dust storms in the history of the whole world, I guess, broke loose. Here's a picture here, Alan. I'd like for you to look at that. That there is the little town of Pampa, Texas. That's where my wife and three children are living right now, and I hear about from them about twice a week.
Well, what happened the night that first dust storm hit? Do you remember just exactly what you people did and what you said?
Well, now, you see this picture here. It shows you the big dust storm coming up. And, just to see a thing of that kind coming towards you, you wouldn't know exactly what it was because it's a freak-looking thing. You never saw anything like it before. But we all sat there. We had seen dust storms of every other different color, flavor, description, style, fashion, shade, design, model. But anyway, I remember the particular evening of April the 14th, 1935, that this dust storm here blowed up. I was standing, a whole bunch of us was standing, just outside of this little town here that you see. And so we watched the dust storm come up like the Red Sea closing in on the Israel children. Anyway, we stood there and watched the son of a gun come up. And I'm telling you, it got so black when that thing hit, we all run into the house, and all the neighbors had all congregated in different houses around over the neighborhood. We sat there in a little old room, and it got so dark that you couldn't see your hand before your face. You couldn't see anybody in the room. You could turn on an electric light bulb, a good, strong electric light bulb in a little room, and that electric light bulb hanging in the room looked just about like a cigarette a-burning, and that was all the light that you could get out of it. So we got to talking, you know, and a lot of people in the crowd that was religious-minded, and they was up pretty well on the scriptures, and they said, well, boys, girls, friends, and relatives, this is the end. This is the end of the world. And everybody said, well, so long, it's been good to know you. I made a little song there. That's kind of one of my own making, though. It's called So Long, It's Been Good to Know You.
So long, it's been good to know you. So long, been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. This dusty old dust is a-blowing me home. I've got to be rolling along. I'll sing this song, but I'll sing it again, of the place that I lived on the West Texas plains. In the city of Pampa, the county of Gray, here's what all of the people there say. Well, it's so long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. This does dusty old dust is a-blowing me home. I've got to be drifting along. The church houses were jammed and packed. People was sitting from front to the back. It was so dusty, the preacher couldn't read his text. So he folded his specs and he took up collection. Said, so long, it's been good to know you. So long, been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. This dusty old dust isn't rolling me home. Gotta be drifting along.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Guthrie.
Thank you, Mr. Lomax.
This record was made on March the 21st, 1940. Alan Lomax speaking.
The story Woody Guthrie was produced by Stacey Abramson with Megan Howell and David Isay for Sound Portraits Productions.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to ReSound from the Third Coast International Audio Festival in Chicago. I'm Gwen Maxey. You don't have to be Woody Guthrie to tell a good story. Tell us yours. Questions, comments, rants, and raves can be sent to ReSound at thirdcoastfestival.org.
You want to talk about Texas?
Yep.
And I want to talk about love.
I want to talk about a buckaroo.
I want to talk about a love that's true.
I want to talk about a longhorn steer.
I want to talk about a kiss right here.
I want to talk about the big bar X.
And I keep saying I love you, Tex.
You want to talk about what you want to talk about.
I want to talk about what I want to talk about.
You want to talk about Texas.
Yep.
And I want to talk about love.
Now, you know that in country western music, there are an awful lot of songs about love. And about heartbreak, and of course, revenge. But there are also a surprising number of songs about Abilene, and I don't mean Kansas. Our next story is from producer Sherry DeLees, our friend who lives in Australia, but it turns out she has roots in guess where?
You've heard the story of other towns, now let me tell you mine. City of West Texas, where the living's mighty fine. Growing fast and going great, a city of renown. Abilene, Abilene, that's my hometown. Abilene, Abilene, that's my hometown.
Well, not exactly my hometown, but my family's been in Texas since the 1850s, when the first of us followed the frontier trail out west. The first of my relatives to live in the Abilene surrounds lived in a dugout. You know, a hole in the ground with timbers over it. And there were dust storms, violent encounters, and all manner of hardships to survive, with a bit of luck. But that same harsh Texas landscape and the colorful tales it's supported over the years has inspired songwriters the world over to write thousands of songs which reference Texas, including at least 60 with Abilene in the lyrics.
Abilene. Abilene.
Abilene.
Abilene,
that's my hometown.
Abilene rhymes.
and it rhymes with lots of different things, and that's the most important reason, at least initially, that Abilene shows up as a mention in so many songs, is because it's easy to rhyme.
Green, boy called Dane.
Ween,
seen,
clean,
Maybelline,
lean, serene,
green,
mean,
awful mean,
dean,
18,
what a sin,
machine,
dream,
kinda lean,
keen,
bean,
scream,
mean,
green,
terrain,
queen,
pristine,
human being.
Abilene, Abilene, that's my hometown.
I wanted to know just what it is about Abilene, besides its rhymeability, that catches songwriters' imaginations. So I called up a librarian with a love of Abilene, the greatest living record collector in the town, and author of the recent book, The Women There Don't Treat You Mean, Abilene in Song, Joe Specht.
Well, now we're talking about Abilene, Texas, remember? That's important.
Okay, what's the other town?
Well, Kansas.
And that was really a more famous town than Abilene, Texas in the 19th century, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Abilene, Texas named itself after Abilene, Kansas, hoping that it would have the same success story that Abilene, Kansas did as a railhead.
They used to drive the cattle from Abilene, Texas, well, from all parts of Texas, up to the railhead in Kansas, at Abilene, Kansas, and then off by train the cattle would go off to the East Coast.
Right.
And that's why Abilene, Kansas was so important.
Yes, it was the sort of the terminus of the Union Pacific or whatever railroad that was that ran east and west.
That was the Kansas Pacific, Joe.
Oh, my goodness. And so some enterprising young Texas rancher, we can drive our cows to Kansas and ship them, and it would be a lot cheaper and a lot faster. And so that's how that all started. And, of course, that was before Abilene, Texas even existed. This would have been the late 1870s. I believe Abilene, Kansas was started in 1857, somewhere in there, just before the Civil War.
Right. I think my great-grandfather was one of those cowboys driving the cattle up there.
So that's, you know, there was that connection from the beginning, but Abilene, Kansas, its sense in history has certainly faded.
You're with KXOX here in Abilene, coming to you live from the Ponderosa Ballroom. I'm standing right in front of the shiny chrome and glitter Abilene and Songs jukebox. And right up till the top of the hour, we'll be playing tunes by songwriters who share our love of Abilene, despite the fact that most of them have never been here before. Abilene is currently hosting the Texas Travel Counselors Conference, so we're taking the opportunity to toot our own horn and show the good counselors the universal appeal of the key city of West Texas. Let's kick off by putting a nickel in the jukebox for Abilene, performed by Slim Chance and the Survivors. Slim, a.k.a. Lane Frizzell, is one of our own sons who keeps busy with the oil exploration business. And you know there's a lot of oil here. In 81, the city set up a demo rig on the county fairgrounds just to illustrate how to make a hole. And by accident, it struck lucky. I think you'll agree Lane done the same with his version of the classic, Abilene.
I sit alone most every night, watch them trains roll out of sight. Wish to the Lord they were carrying me to Abilene, my Abilene. Abilene, Abilene, prettiest town that I ever seen. Women there don't treat you mean in Abilene, my Abilene.
Well, let's start with the most famous Abilene, as recorded by George Hamilton IV, and that topped the Billboard country charts in 1963. Is that right?
That's right. And it has an interesting history. Bob Gibson and Lester Brown were the original co-composers. Neither one of them had any idea if they were writing the song about Abilene, Texas or Abilene, Kansas.
But then didn't you say that one day Bob Gibson had a conversion and he suddenly knew which town it was about?
Well, he did. In 1978, Bob Gibson was invited to perform at the Kerrville Folk Festival in Kerrville, Texas. And in his autobiography, he recounts the experience of singing Abilene, the song, on stage. And he said when 5,000 Texans in the audience stood up and put their hands over their heart, he knew then that the song had to be about Abilene, Texas.
Did they literally put their hands over their heart?
You know how Texans are.
I do.
Women there don't. Abilene, my Abilene. Crowded city, ain't nothing free, nothing in this town for me. Wish to the Lord that I could be in Abilene, my Abilene.
But to go back further still, you point out that Lester Brown recalled that the song was born when he and Gibson were strolling around Washington Square Park in New York City, and they ran into a fellow musician who was plunking on a banjo and mumbling something about Abilene, Abilene, prettiest girl I've ever seen.
The famous couplet, Abilene, Abilene, prettiest town I've ever seen, women there don't treat you mean in Abilene. That couplet was really floating around in public domain for a number of years. So it shows up in other songs other than just the Abilene that we're most familiar with. And again, that could have some connection to Abilene, Kansas, because, you know, if you've driven cows for 2 months from Texas all the way to Kansas and you've been eating dust and the whole bit, you're ready to relax when you get there. And so if you have a town where the women don't treat you mean, in other words, perhaps the women of the night, well, then that could have some Kansas connection, I think, to the little couplet. Now,
well, that makes a lot of sense, because we know Abilene, Kansas was a pretty wild place where the cowboys really, yeah, they...
3 or 4 months on a cattle drive was a long time for a bunch of young cowboys. So when they got to the end of the trail and got their pay, they were ready for a long bath, a good meal, and a whole lot of fun.
Charlie Daniels with Saturday Night in Abilene. Remember, the one in Kansas, that's important.
I've been 3 months of eating that trail dust, sleeping out on the ground, in the burning sun, in the cold, cold moon, nothing but stars around. But this drive is finally over, we done made it to the Kansas line. I got my pay and I'm on my way, and this cowboy's feeling fine. Cause tonight's the night, we're gonna have some fun. The trains are loaded and the work's all done. My spurs are jingling and my boots are clean. Saturday night in the Abilene, Saturday night in the Abilene. Still got a little money down in my jeans, and it's Saturday night in the Abilene.
Now hold up a minute. We're moving those cattle in the wrong direction. Let's get turned around the right way and head on back down the trail to the town that really does have the friendliest people and the prettiest women you've ever seen. Next up on the Wurlitzer, the honky-tonk country of Mr. Ernest Tubb. In the 50s, Tubb was one of the most beloved artists in Nashville. But that didn't stop him from playing the honky-tonks, including the Ponderosa Ballroom, right here in Abilene. Here he is, the original scoundrel Ernest Tubb, walking down the road of regret. A girl from Abilene.
Ernest Tubb was one of my granddad Archie Jeffries' heroes. What about his song, Girl from Abilene?
Met her in a town called Abilene.
It starts off, met her in a town called Abilene.
Prettiest girl I've ever seen.
If you've ever heard Mr. Tubb sing, you can just hear him singing, prettiest girl I ever seen.
Things, like a shiny red sports car. Dress her like a movie star, and on her hand I'd put a diamond ring. Told her back east I was a big shot. 3 plantations, had a great big yacht. She said, you know, I think I like you lots. The lies had all been told. I had no pot of gold. And so I tipped my hat and walked away. walking down the road of regret, thinking of the girl that I had met, wishing somehow she could share my dream. But I'll stop and smile a while, then I'll walk another mile, then goodbye to this girl of Abilene.
Abilene,
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 We're going to put another nickel in the jukebox here for Susie Green from Abilene by Glenn Glenn, previously Glenn Trout, the Missouri Mountain Boy. In the mid to late 50s, rockabilly put together honky-tonk and rock and roll. Rockabilly singer had to have a little bit of country and a little bit of boogie and the blues. And that slapping bass sound, you get that and you got rockabilly.
Susie Green from where?
Susie Green from Abilene. Oh, yeah, that was Glenn Glenn, who was a rockabilly star in the late 50s.
Oh. She holds me tight, but it's dynamite. Whenever she is on the scene, my head blows up like Listerine.
Have you heard of Susie Green?
Susie Green.
A chick from Abilene. Not too fat, not too lean. Susie Green from Abilene. She's as cool as winter green, got a skin like velveteen. She's the most, that's what I mean. Susie Green from Abilene.
She's the most, that's what I mean. Susie Green from Abilene.
Next up is Abilene's own Happy Fat, performing Lightning's own Way Out in Abilene. He's going to help us sort this Abilene thing out, one fence post at a time. Michael Happy Fat Gilbert, he's a carefree axe slinger. He's playing as a bluesy, loping mix of Jimmy Reed and Stevie Ray Vaughan.
You know I'm going out in West Texas. I'm going to fall down behind that rising sun. Oh, you know I'm going out in West Texas. Oh, happy gonna fall down behind that rising sun. You know that the good Lord and the people, oh Lord, what wrong have poor happy done? Yes, I'm going out in West Texas here. You know poor happy's always gotta stop by Abilene.
Another person who just never could stop waxing lyrical about the women of Abilene was Lightning Hopkins.
Oh, Lightning, yes, he's probably my favorite Texas blues performer of all times.
Because he was from what folks there call the Piney Woods of East Texas, Leon County.
Right, that's where he grew up. He wrote and recorded three songs with Abilene as a major motif. And the song that he recorded in 1948, just called Abilene, says, "If you ever go out in West Texas, boy, I want you to stop by Abilene. I want you to stop by Abilene. Yes, you know it's some women there, man. They got a house all painted green." He also recorded another song called Sitting Down Thinking in 1954. And again, Abilene is still on his mind. "If you ever go out in West Texas, will you please stop by Abilene? Yeah, you know there's some of the sweetest women out there that a man mostly ever seen."
Boy, it's a big reputation that the women wear on their shoulders there in Abilene.
Mm-hmm. Way out in Abilene, Lightning say, "Do you know, poor Lightning, stop by Abilene? Do you know there's some of the sweetest women's out there? Oh, Lord, a man mostly ever seen." That was in Abilene.
Fabulous.
And Happy Fat gives his own interpretation of the Lightning Hopkins tune with a little Jimmy Reed thrown in as well.
Oh, man, way out in Abilene.
That was an excerpt from Abilene Jukebox, a one-hour documentary featuring Lucky Oceans as the Abilene DJ. It was produced by Sherry DeLees and Russell Stapleton for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. ¶¶
From Abilene, Texas, you can head in almost any direction and expect to find great country music. Utah, Oklahoma, Alabama. But you probably wouldn't expect it once you go further afield, like to Mongolia. Nevertheless, in September 2005, a group of American cowboys traveled to Mongolia to share their music with the herdsmen of the Mongolian steppe. Hal Cannon, founding director of the Western Folklife Center, went along with the singing cowboys to document just how the music of these two horseback cultures would jibe.
It's letting the gods know there's a visitor.
After coming halfway around the world, we're hungry to smell the cooking, see the sights, and hear the voices like those of the monks of the Gondan Buddhist Monastery. It's been a long flight, we're disoriented, and the chants spin us like a prayer wheel. Though it's the middle of the afternoon, jet lag triggers a yawning epidemic in our group. As we leave the monastery, Biomba, our guide and translator, hands us seed to feed the pigeons, an exercise for good karma. The next morning, we all pile into four vans and bounce along past railroad yards with retired Trans-Siberian locomotives replete with red Soviet stars on the grillwork. We're headed to Genghis Khan's ancient capital of Karakoram. Just outside Ulaanbaatar, the road deteriorates to a mass of potholes. Mongolian techno music on the radio seemed fitting in the blocky Soviet-style city, but now it's out of place on the endless grass steppe. I can't help wondering how American cowboy music will sit with the musical landscape of this ancient and very faraway place. Arizona cowboy and singer Gail Steiger wonders the same thing.
I worry about how our music is going to fit in. I mean, the kind of stuff that I do, I don't consider myself to be a good musician. It's kind of a purveyor of ideas, and if the language doesn't translate, you kind of think, well, what else do I have?
We're getting into the rhythm of the road, which has become a braid of dirt tracks. Each driver aims for the smoothest path as they race one another across the plain. After 9 hours, we see what looks like mushrooms dotting the landscape. It's our first camp. Typical nomadic homes. The Mongolians call them gers, the Russians, yurts. After dinner, we're treated to a performance by a musical quartet dressed in embroidered silk robes of blue, gold, and red, with a ubiquitous Mongolian beanie with a pointy beacon on top. They play the Mongolian national instrument, the Morinhor, a two-stringed affair with a horse's head carved into the peg head, and my favorite, a reed instrument that curves around the player's neck, made from yak horns. We learn it's a song about missing a mother who's far away herding and milking her animals. And as the musicians play, their eyes hint at the melancholy of this lament. Years ago, Genghis Khan took troops of performers on his conquests, including musicians, dancers, and contortionists. Tonight, this troupe brings out a 14-year-old girl who wills her body into a dozen different rope tricks. And then the group breaks into a version of John Denver's Take Me Home, Country Roads, complete with throat singing. By the end of the show, we are all speechless. Our American guide, Linda Svensson, gets up and, through a translator, asks the performers.
So, would they be interested in hearing a couple songs from our cowboy performers?
I wonder why all the cowboys are looking at their feet. Ron Cain and his sidekick Bruce Stanger reluctantly pick up the fiddle and banjo and play a tune or two. Later, Ron called it the most faded, faded love he's ever been part of. Who knows why the Mongolians were so musical tonight and the Americans weren't? Was it embarrassment, shyness, or just being unprepared for the moment? I'm told that every time a musician plays, it's an act of faith. Will it be music or will it be noise? I found Ron later.
I just sort of feel like, you know, how the coach would feel if he says, okay, get out there, you guys, and you've been practicing this, and now we're, you know, we're going to go for victory, you know, and it's like somebody wasn't trying very hard. And not only trying very hard, but it's just like, take me out, you know. And this dismayed me. And then I went away.
Well, those Mongolians kicked our ass tonight.
Gail Steiger caught the whole thing on videotape.
I don't believe music is a competitive sport. But
if it would have been.
If it would have been, yeah, we were toast. We were dust.
It's time to pack up the instruments, but there's something going on over in the corner. Montana rancher and musician Stephanie Davis is learning that beautiful tune from the horn player.
Suddenly they became people. They went from being exotic foreigners to fellow musicians and brothers, and so it just blew my hair back. It just makes me see how narrow my focus has been. Probably most Americans. There's a big old world out here of great music.
Yeah. Generally, these guys are trained to be mild.
The next morning, it's time to switch from seat belts to saddles. But first, a lesson on riding these sturdy little Mongolian horses.
And to go, you say, choo, choo. That's like
C-H-U.
That's like giddy up.
Choo-choo.
So you'll hear him doing it a lot.
Hey, choo choo. Bye bye.
Thank you. That was superb.
Five days on horseback, riding and camping looms before us. But that doesn't seem to matter. Distance is now measured by the next hill to cross and time by the slant of the autumn sun.
This is a dream come true. It's like, it doesn't get any better than this.
I saw cattle, I saw yaks, I saw camels for the first time, goats, sheep, and the no fences is amazing. Kind of a cowboy fantasy.
We were almost a couple of horses short this morning because in the night rustlers came in and boosted two of our ponies.
It's called Gingla, and it's performed by the riders, all kids from age 6 to 11. And so while they're warming up the horses, they do this encouraging or inspiring song for the horses.
We're looking at heaven, is what my idea of heaven anyway. We're looking at these beautiful hills of many colors and herd after herd of horses.
Come and get it! Dinner's on the table! Don't be shy!
We're being spoiled, enjoying fresh vegetables, a rarity out here, and our hosts are going easy on such Mongolian favorites as fermented mare's milk and unidentified mutton parts. We settle into an easy, good-natured relationship with our hosts, the horses, and the landscape. The music is turned from performance to something more akin to conversation. And it's not just the music that's different. There's something different about the way it's used, like the kids singing to their horses before the race. The early morning sun catches an old woman's red silk robe as she milks a black shaggy yak in a field nearby. The milk pulses into her pail like a drum.
This is the song when the mother yak needs to feed the baby one and just to give them more love. And yeah, it's like a lullaby song for the animals. She's saying after she sang, it's going really well. You can hear the sound.
It finally dawns on me. Music here is inseparable from life. The song simply relaxes the yak so she'll let her milk down. There's no performance in the singing. Its purpose is specific. I find myself longing for a musical language that's been lost to most of us. It's the last night on the steppe, and the days in the saddle are almost over. And the cowboy musicians are determined to make music serve yet another purpose.
Would you be my friend? And I'll be yours. We'll ride around as long as we can.
Help me out with this. Let's have a verse.
My little verse goes like this.
Soon the group will make the arduous drive back to Ulaanbaatar, where the cowboys will give a farewell concert at the capital's newest night spot, the Genghis Khan Irish Pub. Tonight at camp, they decide it's time to make a new song.
Well, let's do it, and then let's do it at our big show, you know. I want to throw in my, may your horses never fall and may your grass always grow tall. Is that okay?
No, and then they decide this song of friendship should be sung both in English and Mongolian.
So here's what we got so far, and you can correct. Be
my. I need a paper and pen.
As if on cue, Biyombo shows up just in time for the brainstorm.
And then Mongolian version for friendship thing can be Mininets Polo.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Yeah! He's going to have to sing it with us, too. Are you going to be
It
there?
Seems so effortless for him to switch back and forth, not only in language, but in culture. And it makes me wonder what this exchange has been like for the Mongolians. One of our horse guides, Saye, has won our hearts with his boisterous songs and antics, like the time he squatted under a horse and tried to pick it up on his back. He invites me into his gare, out of the chilly morning breeze. 2 years ago, Saye met many of us when he was part of a group that visited Nevada. I ask him about this reunion, this time on his native soil. He answers with a smile. I smile back and wonder what he's saying. Then there's a small change in his voice. His eyes well up and his lips quiver in the dim light. I don't need to wait for the translation to know that in this very foreign place, we have made a very dear friend.
Sagebrush to Steppe was produced by Hal Cannon and Taki Telenitis of the Western Folklife Center in Utah. Whether you live in Outer Mongolia or here in Chicago, you can follow what we're doing on Facebook. Look for Third Coast International Audio Festival and become a fan. So before we go, we just want to play one more thing for you. A few years ago, our friend and colleague Gregory Warner traveled to Afghanistan as a reporter. Not speaking the language, he decided to bring his accordion as a means to connect with people through music. Then one night, he got the chance to do just that. I'll let Gregory tell you the rest.
This all took place in a town in the north of Afghanistan called Mazar-i-Sharif.
The reason I was in that particular city was I was going to do a piece for All Things Considered, actually, about this music festival that was a pretty big deal at the time, because it was, I think, and the details are a little hazy, but I think it was the first time since all the wars that musicians from all over the country had gotten together in one place to play music together. Mazar-i-Sharif is far from Kabul. It's a city, but it's a small city. There was no English spoken. People were pretty much all dressed in Afghan traditional clothing, definitely there to hear Afghan traditional music that they had grown up with and which had been banned by the Taliban, so that they hadn't heard on the radio for all those years. Completely unexpectedly, when I was talking to the music organizer, he said, "Well, what's that in your back?" I said, "Well, oh yeah, I brought my accordion." And within minutes, he had, practically kicked off the band that was currently playing. Just like sent them off, and he said, "Come on, you're our guest. Play us a song." And everybody was like turning their heads to look at me, because I had been sort of, you know, not undercover, but I had been sort of the reporter, you know, in the background kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, everybody's looking at me. My favorite kind of part of the whole thing was at the end. I threw my hat into the crowd, and people were just screaming, and one guy kind of reached out and grabbed it, you know? And then he actually came up to me afterward and asked me to sign the hat, which I was like, yeah, definitely. And I thought that was great.
That was Gregory Warner singing Johnny Cash. When he's not charming audiences in the Middle East with his accordion, Gregory Warner is a reporter for Marketplace.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
ReSound is a production of the Third Coast International Audio Festival in Chicago. I'm Gwen Maxey. The program is produced by Katie Mingle and curated by Johanna Zorn and Julie Shapiro of the Third Coast Festival. You can hear today's program at thirdcoastfestival.org, where you can also hear hundreds of outstanding documentaries from around the world and subscribe to our podcast. Lead support for the Third Coast Festival is provided by the Richard H. Driehaus Foundation and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Additional support is provided by the Boeing Company Charitable Trust, the Agudino Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, Chicago's Navy Pier, and American Airlines. Special thanks to the many individual contributors from Chicago and around the world. The Third Coast Festival was founded in 2000 by WBEZ Chicago. If you want to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Email us at resound@thirdcoastfestival.org. ReSound returns next week with more radio that you can't hear anywhere else unless you live everywhere else.
I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns.
You've been listening to the Third Coast Podcast. Now that it's over, here are a few suggestions. Become our fan on Facebook. Write us a review on iTunes. Buy a t-shirt in our merch shop or make a donation to support what we do at thirdcoastfestival.org. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.